Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to Wake to Oneness Radio. I am Caroline Chang, your host. The mission of Awake to Oneness Radio is to inspire the world to awaken to the universal truth of oneness. Science is now teaching us that all life is interconnected and interdependent. And spirituality and ancient wisdom has been teaching the truth of oneness for eons. So science is now just catching up to the universal truth of oneness and proving it scientifically. So basically what that means is we're all connected. We're all one. What you do to another person, you're literally doing to another aspect of yourself. And when mankind awakens to the universal truth of oneness, there will be peace on earth. Today's show topic is Golden Miracles with Deborah Martin. Welcome, Deborah, to Awake to Oneness Radio.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you so much for being my guest. And I'm finding out we have a lot of friends in common. We're there in the Phoenix area, and many of my guests that I've had on the show are friends of yours in connection with helping parents heal. So I'm so honored that you reached out to me, and I'm so honored to have you as my guest.
Oh, thank you.
Please share with our listeners, because your story is amazing. I know you've had such a rich spiritual journey. Please share and start at the very beginning. Share with our listeners your journey.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think that many of us have shifts in our life. I call them shifts, and some of them we like our shifts, and some things we really don't want, but they become part of our lives and they mold us into who we are today. And so I had three major shifts. And when I say those shifts, it's like a spiritual shift. It awakens me. Yeah. So I've had three NDEs, and out of one of those NDEs, I had an out-of-body experience.
Okay. And let's explain to some listeners who may not know what NDE means. I know we in America, we're big on but there might be someone like, what's that? So explain that. Explain what an NDE is.
An NDE is a near-death experience. Yeah. And then out-of-body, of course, is when your spirit leaves your body. And I'll explain that in the journey that I took. Okay. So my first near-death experience was in 1997. It was the same night that Princess Diana died.
Oh, wow.
I happened to be watching the Princess Diana. You know, I was out with some friends, and I had this premonition afterwards, like, I don't want to get in this car, like something's going to happen. But, you know, you're just watching this accident. Was I just feeling that way? You know, I had three kids at home. It was late at night, and we were going to go home on a freeway. And I just thought, everybody's like, oh, you're just, that's just you just having that feeling. So yeah. Car and I'm in the back seat of like a two-door car, and we're traveling down the slow lane on the freeway, and all of a sudden I felt like something was going to happen, and immediately I said, God protect us. And then I heard the bang, and what happened was a big truck, it was like a tool truck, and opened the windows, and it came from the far lane and just was trying to exit. And it hit us, and we spun and took 40 feet of guardrail out. And if you look at the car, which I'll have pictures in my next book, it spun out, and it ended up in oncoming traffic. And so facing oncoming traffic. traffic. We couldn't get out. It was so crunched. And so I had this little pocket in the back seat where I was. And, you know, we're shaken. We don't know what to do. And out of nowhere, this person appears. And they're able to get us out of the car, this person. And it took one by one. One person broke their leg, so put her on the embankment. Took me and my other friend and put us farther on the embankment away from, you know, the freeway. And I had this ring on my finger, and my finger was bleeding, and it just hurt really bad. And he's like, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No, this really, really hurts." He took my bloody finger, put it in his mouth with his teeth, bent it. Now, this is a really hard ring. Like, if you tried to bend it with your hand or put all your weight on it, it won't bend. So how he did it, I do not know. But I have his teeth marks to show that he was real. And he took it out, placed it in my hand, kissed me on the forehead, went to the left and said, I will see you again. I looked to the right because now ambulances and fire trucks. We had like 3 ambulances, 5 fire trucks. I mean, it was a big scene. And when I finished looking there, I went to look for him to my left, and he was gone.
Wow.
No one ever saw him. No one there at the scene. He would just disappeared. So I that kind of awakened to me, like, what just happened?
Right.
What's going on? That now I know he was sent for divine intervention when I said, I'm not ready. You know, okay. Save us, right?
Wow. Now, of all the people in the car, you were the only one that saw him? No one else saw him?
No, we all saw him. He kissed us all on the forehead, yes. Okay. So it's not like I just saw him. We all did. And
okay.
Then he just disappeared because he took us, each one of us, and helped us get out of that car.
Wow.
So, it you know, they come in human form.
Yes.
And so that just really shook me. Like, what happened? I started my spiritual journey then in search of, you know, going to Doreen Virtue and some of these conferences that really
right.
kind of help you know and validate what you went through.
Right.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, so then in August 31st of 2000,
mm-hmm.
I because that was in 1997, and that was also August 30th. So now we're 2000 in August, and
okay.
I'm driving my car, and I stop in a turn bay, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a left turn bay where you just sit until the traffic leaves. You're going into a subdivision, right?
Right.
And as I am sitting there, all of a sudden, just I had no premonition, nothing. I was somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I was now above, like out of my body, watching everything from below. And I saw my car be hit from behind, spun again into oncoming traffic. But now I hear a voice behind me that says, very loving, very calm, are you ready? And I said, and I knew what that meant. It meant like, are you ready to stay here? Are you ready to die? And I was like, no. I have 3 kids. They need me. I don't want to die. But look. And I'm seeing this truck with this big trailer behind me that's going to come and crush me. I'm like, I'm not going to survive that.
Right.
Right. But within seconds, I'm now in the back seat of my car, which once was a 4-door Honda, now a 2-door, all windows blown out, seatbelt in the front, and the seat broke, throwing me in the back, and I have a mouthful of glass, and I have a police officer at my window going, or at my door saying, are you okay? Are you okay? Well, I'm so sorry. I was trying to get this man that was in a diabetic seizure off the road. We were on pursuit for like 10 miles, and you're what stopped him. So standing there, I mean, sitting there, and I'm trying to get in the front seat because I really don't know what's going on. I'm still not all there. But then I hear him talk to this gentleman, and he says, sir, you seem very shaken. Are you okay? And he goes, I don't know what just happened, but I should have killed her. I should have went over her car. And at that split second, somebody took my steering wheel and put me into the other lane.
Wow.
And that's when I remembered. It was like, whoa, right? It
yes.
just kind of sunk. Like, he's saying what I saw, But now I'm kind of keeping it quiet because I'm like, am I crazy? Like, what just happened, right?
Right.
And we got helicopters for the helicopter flight for life coming for the man that hit me. Mm-hmm. There's so much commotion. I'm going to the hospital, whatnot. Well, I knew I went somewhere.
Right.
I knew I heard a voice. So I knew something beyond us exists without a shadow of a doubt.
Right.
That then opened my mediumship. I had it since I was a little girl. I was frightened. I turned it off. It wasn't something that, you know, we talk about.
Right.
And now I'm like, I have this gift. I'm starting to hear voices, starting to help people. And I was doing it a little bit before the car wreck, but now it made it like, okay, something bigger's here.
Right.
So I went to the University of Arizona and got studied by Dr. Gary Schwartz and Dr. Julie Weichel.
Yes.
And by getting studied, it gave me that credential of saying, what you're getting is real, and I can now help people.
Wow.
So I want to make sure. I mean, so many of us think that we're crazy when we hear these voices or that we see spirit, and or they think, you know, are they haunting me? You know, people don't know. And so
right.
I felt like I needed to be tested. And what was interesting with that is when I was reaching out to them, I kept feeling like I was getting pushed by a spirit. And some of us feel that, you know, from our loved ones, and we don't understand why we have that intuition to push, push, push.
Right.
Well, when they came to meet me, when Dr. Julie Weichel came to meet me, I said, you know, I read this book of Dr. Gary Schwartz, and then I felt really connected to Susie Smith. She wrote the Afterlife Codes, and I know they're friends, so could you give her this message from me?
Okay.
Get in touch with her. And if you could have saw Julie Weichel's face, she was like, what? She goes, I need to tell you something. She said, Susie Smith passed, and she told us that she would send the mediums that we need to test, and they will say they have a message for her.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay. Now, you know, now I'm feeling spirit, hearing spirit. It just opened everything.
Right, right. And Gary, Dr. Gary was on my show, and he spoke about, you know, that. Yes, he did. I say he spoke about all, like, the different mediums that he uses and the lady he was working with before she passed and how they would come after she passed. Yes.
Yeah, see, we kept the same. Yeah, I'm glad that you shared that because that had so much meaning to me. It was like, oh my gosh, now I know who's been pushing me because I didn't know. And I just felt like it was just me that I had that strong, you know, encouragement or push. So then I look at this as spirit is, these are lessons that I'm going through. And I obviously needed another lesson. And I'm like, please let it not be another car wreck.
Okay.
So I started to get very ill. And I lost the ability to eat. I lost the ability to have bowel movements. I was losing my dignity. I was down to 90 pounds. I was being seen by Mayo Clinic. Nobody could figure out what was wrong with me.
Okay.
So I was losing hope. I was really losing hope. And when we lose hope, we really lose everything. Because I believe hope is life.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Life. And so on 1/21/12, I was with a friend at the time, and she had asked me to go into prayer, and I really didn't want to because I was asking God to take me. You know, I was hurting. I just was in a fetus position in pain all the time.
And you didn't know a diagnosis for your illness?
No one could figure it out.
Wow.
And I'll tell you later why, because okay. I asked that question, why. So I left my body on 1/21/12.
Okay.
I transitioned.
What date is that? Not in numbers.
January 12th, 2012.
That's my birthday. January.
No, no way.
That's why I asked you to say.
Oh,
yeah, January 12th is my birthday. Yes.
Well, then you may never forget this story.
Yes. Okay.
So I transitioned and I felt like I was floating. I felt very weightless. I didn't have fear.
You know, your audio just got really low. Just talk a little louder. I'm not sure why. And it was because we were testing your audio.
How's that?
Yeah, just talk louder.
Okay.
Okay.
So then what happened then, I'll move a little closer. So what happened then is I started transitioning. I felt my body leave, I felt my spirit leave my body. Okay. And at that time, I could feel myself floating. And when I was floating, I was feeling weightless. I was not, I felt safe. I felt, wasn't in any pain. And I was surrounded by this white light. And I'm like, this is so beautiful. Now, if you remember the last time I felt somebody behind me, right? Say, are you ready? Now I'm seeing this vision of an outline, what I call my God.
Yes.
You know, other people have different names.
Yes.
The arms were out like this. And all of a sudden I was seeing, I was able to see and watch what was transpiring. I was being held like a little girl. I go, oh, I must really be sick. And he took my body and he placed it on a beam of light. And when he did that, my spirit stood next to him. Him, her,
right.
And so when I was standing next to him, I was like, okay, I'm really sick, but I saw a glass coffin next to me. And it was beautiful. And I'm like, oh, I'm just ready to go in the glass coffin. Let's just be done. Like, I felt so much love. I had so much peace. But I was kind of like, why am I standing here?
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing I heard is, you're going to come with me. And I'm going to go. I went into this. It looked, it was kind of like a dome. And we were going to sit and have a conversation.
Right.
And he said, no one else will hear this in the universe. This is between us. He said, okay, so we're in this kind of like shield of dome, white light. And he pulls out this lifeline contract. And we all have them. It's kind of what we're born with.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that lifeline contract, there were, like, it was long. I always say, I should have read the fine details because I didn't. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I should have known, right? What was going to happen?
Right.
But I was told I needed to come back.
Okay.
And I was told if I come back, I'd be healthy, joy, empowerment, prosperity, and voice. Those are the words that I saw bolted.
Okay.
And he said, remember this date. 1/21/12, all things are reversible like the numbers, and so will your illness be.
Well, that's when you just said 1/21. Was it 1/21 or 1/12?
It was 1/21/12.
Oh, okay. My birthday's 1 January 12.
No, I meant like, oh, because I said 12/12, not January 21/12. 1.
Okay, because at first you said, I said what date? Now, first you said January 12th. January 12th is my birthday.
Oh, well, see, that's reversible too.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So date. I must have been nervous or something.
That's okay. So the actual date was January 21st, 12.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's okay. So it's not my birthday, but it's the same numbers reversed.
Touching that, though.
Yeah, because, well, you know why? It's because January 12th is my birthday. So it's sticking out in my head. And at first you did, I think you did say 1/12/12. At first, I think. I could be wrong. And that's why I said, say that in months. And you said January 12th. I was like, okay, that's my birthday.
Oh, okay. I was probably thinking the month 12. And I always, I never say it out loud that way. I always say 1/21/12. So, yeah, I got off. But you know what? Nice to happen that way.
I understand what happened. I threw you off by asking you to say it. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. So, back to the story. Okay.
During that whole process, my body was being healed by spiritual surgeons. And I did see spiritual surgeons come into the room. I did feel what they were doing, and it was excruciating pain. And they were down in my lower right abdomen, and they were squeezing this pus out. It was kind of like if you imagine a straw that has a thick strawberry in, and you have to get that strawberry out. That's what was in there. It was stuck.
Okay.
And, I did come back, and when I did come back, I felt like I was taking my first breath. And when you speak about it, you want to cry because you just, you'll never forget that moment. And it's like, it's hard to express to other people the how it hits you to your core.
Right.
And so when I speak, I'm like, ooh, you know, get teary-eyed because what happened was so real that maybe some people can't understand. But I saw myself getting better and better as time went on. And I did have to sit and light a candle every day and, you know, just know that healing is a process.
Yes.
And to trust that it was going to happen in time with, and I had no help with doctors.
Okay.
And so it took me about 6 months to be completely healed.
Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. But what I noticed, what was heightened, is I had now this ability to heal. Now, I healed a couple people in my past. In my first book, I talk about that. But I never considered myself a healer, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But now I was like, okay, I was going to try this with other people, you know, to do, these were more friends and people that were in need, and I was helping them that way. But now I'm gonna take it to another level because everything just became like boom. Like I'm seeing spiritual surgeons. I'm hearing voices. I'm bringing loved ones into the room. I'm able to take people on spiritual journeys to meet their children that are on the other side. They have embracements. It's just phenomenal, right? So, but once again, you question what's happening until you see the proof.
Yes.
So when people come back and say, I had brain cancer and you didn't know, because I don't want to know anything when they come in for a session.
Right.
Or they have a remote session. I don't know anything, but I am told everything, even to down to why it happens. Like it could have happened when they were 7 years old and never knew how to heal that. They just got pushed aside.
Right.
And then it all comes about. And then they come back and say, well, you wouldn't have known that, you know, I had this accident when I was seven, or that my parents divorced, or whatever it was. And then I'm seeing brain cancer healed. I'm seeing uterus cancer healed. I'm seeing, like, with James Vinney, Elizabeth Boysen's father, he had Hodgkin's lymphoma, the brain and the spine, and in 5 days, that was healed.
Yeah.
And you know, and it goes to emotional pain too. So there's really no limit of what can be healed.
Yes.
But I just call myself an instrument. I'm the instrument. And when I heard that word voice,
mm-hmm.
you know, I read that on my lifeline contract, I just thought it meant voice to my mediumship. I didn't know that it was the voice to help a person heal their inner soul.
Mm. Okay.
So without knowing someone, and they could be in Shanghai, China, or Australia, across the world, and then know everything about them. And all they do is send me a picture because I want to connect with their picture. And I lay it on my body, and everything just begins. The frequency I tap into,
wow.
And it's like, and I feel it. So I have to feel the pain. So I might be like, oh my gosh, I have this heartache. You have, you know, heart issues, or, oh, I have this headache here, or, and I'll feel it, and people will be like, you were in so much pain, I'm so sorry for what you had to go through. I'm like, no, that's a gift.
Okay.
I don't hold on to it, but if I feel it, I never deny it, right? Because it's so clear to me what is happening.
Right.
It's just beautiful. At every session, you know, there's words that come through that are so simple, but yet so profound that I'm taken to my knees. Like I end the session and then I'm like, thank you, thank you, thank you, you know, because it's like, and then you send the recording off to them going, well, we'll see what they have to say. So that has a lot of trust, right? You're trusting everything that you're receiving and hearing and
right.
And it's just never wrong. It's just beautiful.
Right, right. It's all, yeah, like you said, it's like trusting that intuition, you know. For me, I can't hear you anymore. Let's see.
Really?
No, I don't know. No, I can hear you. I can hear you. You had said something. Huh?
It's all about trust, you know. We have to trust everything. And that's the hardest thing for us as humans, right? We have to kind of remove our humanness, our ego away and say, okay, I just heard that voice, or I just felt words, and those wouldn't be something I would say. But most of the time we just go, I'm not going to pay attention to it. But if we trust those words, they could have such meaning to us. They could guide us, that guiding us, that intuition, like when Susie Smith was pushing me. You know, I trusted that. I still had to do it. I had to walk through it.
Yes.
But it always seems to unfold later and let us know, like, aha.
Yes.
That's where those words came from. And this time of the year, too, it's so hard. You know, people are struggling. And whether they're in pain financially, you know, I get people that are saying, I have financial burden, or it's everything. And it's like, well, let go, free yourself, put that trust into your source, your universe, your God, and say, help me. But then you have to trust it.
Yes.
And you will be taken care of, and just, it frees you from that worry.
Yes.
But you still have to go through. It's not like, okay, it's just going to come to you. You know, the doors might close in one aspect and they might open in another. And that's what's beautiful, is you have to walk through the doors and trust that process, to put yourself in places where you might think, oh, should I do that? Should I not do that? And there's so many times that my door closes and I'm like, really? Like, I thought that door should be open. Like, what the heck? And they're like, okay, I guess we'll see the blessing in the end. And
yeah.
It does. It's like later, you know, months later, I'm like, oh, thank gosh that door closed. That could have been a nightmare.
Yes. Well, what you're saying, as you're speaking, it's just all, it goes for me. It all goes to the fact that there are no such thing as coincidence. Everything is a coincidence. And it goes back to the connection of all things. Everything is connection, and everything is interactive and interdependent. So when one thing happens, something else happens, because it's all connected. And everything that happens is synchronicity. The big and the small. We want to celebrate the good synchronicity, but also the things that are not so favorable are also synchronicity. It's all synchronistic.
And we don't necessarily like to have, like, I didn't want those two car accidents.
Of course.
I didn't want to go through the pain of being sick.
Of course.
But if we can look at what lesson did we learn from that? Why did we go through it? Because I'm like, okay, I've learned my lessons with the car wrecks. I don't want any more, you know? But it's like, trying to see the blessing in things versus, you know, the hardship. And yeah, they are hard. I mean, when I came back, life was not simple. Doctors couldn't figure it out. And I did question, remember you said, why didn't they ever find it? And I questioned that to spirit, like, why didn't they ever find it? And I said, because if you would have found out the answer, you would have been attached to that.
Okay.
Where not being attached, then I never say I had. I once had this. I don't give that power
to it.
So yeah. They have to teach others, like, you know, I have cancer. Well, maybe you have that, but don't voice it. Don't own it. Don't give it power.
So
it taught me, right? It gave me a teaching.
And yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, when I came back, it was not easy. I lost everything. My husband didn't want to walk with me anymore. He gave me a choice to stay with him, stability, everything. And I looked at that as like, why? Why does it have to be so hard? Why would I have to go through that? But, you know, he was really honoring himself and honoring me by standing in his truth.
Yes.
So at the time, I was so angry and so hurt and so crushed. And now I look at it, it's like, you know what? I would have had one foot in and one foot out. And it wasn't supposed to be that way. So I look at it as a blessing now. And so with hardship, there are blessings, and it will happen if we can just see it that way.
So for me, and I say this a lot, from the spiritual perspective, not the human perspective, but from spiritual perspective, our hardship, our challenges are our greatest blessings.
They are, and our greatest lessons.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And it like, if I didn't have those three shifts, it wouldn't have molded me into who I am today, and I wouldn't be able to do what I am doing today.
Exactly.
And so everything was kind of connected, like you say, one led to the other, and I was growing, and I was becoming stronger, and that empowerment gives me that strength. That was that word. You will have empowerment.
Yes.
Strength to stand in my own truth.
Yes.
Because it might not be what somebody else believes.
Right.
That's what we're here to do. I'm not trying to make people believe. I'm exactly. just trying to do what I'm told to do, is be that instrument to help others and be that interconnection. We can connect to you, to connect to myself, and connect to the divine, and just let the process happen. It's like, I can't be controlled with the outcome either, because, you know, my intention is I want a miracle for everyone. Well, what is the meaning of a miracle? Because miracles transform in so many different ways.
Yeah.
And so it might be that they get to live longer. It might be that they transition without pain. It might be that they have a connection with their loved one so that they can heal. It might mean that they get that miracle where everything, cancer is gone. But that's not up to me. So I have to put the outcomes aside and just trust. Some people are healed instantaneously.
Yes.
Some people, it's in a process. It takes time. And the beauty of it all, if we can just watch and see and witness, there's a miracle within each and every session.
Yes, yes. And I say there's a miracle in every now moment. It's just, it's all miracles. We don't always see them as miracles, but everything, and for me, the simple part, and like you said, this is my truth. I share my, and I always say that to people. I'm not, whatever resonates as true in your heart, follow that. But my truth is, we are, like you said in your last near-death experience, your guide, I would say your spirit guide, was showing you your contract, so spiritual contracts, we actually write them in spirit. We don't remember that but this is what we said, okay, this is what we came here to do. We write that contract, and our soul agreements and our, you know, our challenges, we write them. They right. all come from us. And when we understand that nothing is happening to us, it's all happening from us and for us.
Correct.
Regardless of, like, my son, you know, my son is in spirit. I know he's not gone. I know he's with me. And I know that his transition was a soul agreement, you know, that he was going to go back to spirit before me. He and I agreed upon that before my incarnation. And when you know that, you have nothing but peace, and you face every moment with, wow, okay, I created this. I created this for a reason. Let me look for the positive in this.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I feel like everything's out of love.
Yes.
Like, you know, I transitioned, I was feeling nothing but love, right? Yeah. So you come back, and what I'm trying to do is do everything out of love. Exactly. And when we do that, when we express and our kindness and our intentions are out of love, there's no regrets.
Exactly. You
know, right? And so when you say everything happens for the reason, it's like when you're upset, like, I can't get out of this house on time, everything's getting in my way, and you're getting frustrated.
Yes.
But if you don't see the bigger picture, that maybe if you had left earlier, there would have been something else that would have, you know, been in your way. And so we go, okay, instead of being so upset about it, just, you're trying to get out, but there's a reason that you're being stopped. Take a deep breath and just go, okay, I may not know the higher reason, but I trust the higher reason.
That's so true. Trusting in that reasoning. Sometimes, you know, sometimes things happen. I mean, even when you awaken to the truth of who you are, which is creating reality, sometimes something happens and you're like, oh goodness, didn't really expect that or want that, but I know that it happened for a higher purpose, so I have to just take a deep breath.
Right. Embrace it.
Embrace it, because there's no pushing it away. When we push things away, it just comes back stronger. So
right. It's gonna happen.
Exactly. And I say to parents, because I talk a lot to parents that have children in spirit, you know, there's nothing wrong with the tears. There's nothing wrong with, you know, whatever emotion you're feeling, feel it. Don't try to push it away. Don't try to run from it, because the more you try to push what you're feeling away, it's going to come back even stronger, because it is a part of us. It's a part of the oneness.
And I say it's powerful to cry. Crying is, tears are like healing. And some people tell other people, like, well, that's a weakness. You just got to stop crying. I'm like, no, that's strength. You can let it go. Because most people just want to bury it. And if you can release it, you're releasing so much more. Many times in my healings, it comes from, you know, things that they pushed way down because they didn't, either they didn't know how to release it, they didn't want to, they hid it. It's going to come out in another way.
Exactly.
And you're going to have to address it eventually. So, to embrace those feelings, and it's okay. That's why we have the gift of emotions.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The gift of love, the gift of crying, the gift of sadness. It's because we are human, but it's because we feel. And that's why I say with my healings, I had to feel to heal.
Yes.
I tell people, it's like, you have to feel to heal. If you have to cry, that's okay.
Yes. Yes.
Because then there'll be a day where you can have joy.
Yes.
And there's a, you know, other people also think that, can I smile? Is, you know, if I laugh, is it going to make, is it, they feel bad for laughing when they lose their child or when they lose a loved one. Like, they're not here. How can I do that? They feel bad. And I'm like, no. Feel the joy. That's why you're here.
Exactly.
Want you to feel that joy.
Exactly. And they want, exactly, just like you said, they want you, your child, your loved one on the other side, they're in complete bliss right now, and they're joyful, and they want, they're not gone. They want you to know, okay, they're not in the physical anymore, but they're not gone, and they feel your pain. So they don't want you to feel pain. They want you to be joyful. The more joy you share with the world, the happier they are. They like,
you're raising your vibration.
Exactly.
Right? When you, and for an example, like if when you're happy, like you're around a lot of people that are making you laugh, you go home feeling really good, right?
Yeah.
You raise that vibration.
Exactly.
So you want to do that, and when you raise your vibration, you're feeling them as well.
Yeah.
Their vibration's right there. So it's interconnected. And that's why I say I tap into a frequency, which is a vibration.
Yes.
And that's all out of love. And when I do that, that's when things transpire.
Exactly. Exactly. And true of all things in science, I like to go back to science for the skeptical listeners, that it's science that everything is vibration. And it's all about raising. That's why you say laughter is the best medicine. And that's a true saying, because when you're laughing, you raise your vibration. When you raise your vibration, you're healing your body.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
It's all interconnected. And that goes back to the word hope.
Yes.
Remember, I wasn't laughing. I wasn't finding joy. I was in pain.
Yes.
I lost hope. Well, when I came back and I heard, you know, all things are reversible, that gave me hope.
I had
a little light go on inside of me going, okay, I can do this. It's going to be okay. I'm going to walk through this. And it was like somebody holding my hand.
Yes.
I'd say to people, you know, in your, never lose hope. Just always carry that with you through anything, financial, through losing a loss of a loved one, through pain, because you will get through it. However you get through it, you will, but don't lose the hope.
Right. Never give up.
Never give up.
Never give up. Know that it's not, this life that we go through, it's not the easiest thing. But for me personally, it was awakening to the spirit, the higher spiritual truth of who we truly are, that helps you get through each moment of each day. You know, that, and you can go through it with a smile, and you can go through, yeah, I'm not giving up. I'm going to get through this.
Right, and that's how I started in the beginning. I said, these are shifts. These shifts are awakenings.
Yeah.
And it's like you have an awakening when you have a child born into the family, like a grandchild, or even you have a child. You're awakened to a whole new life.
Yes.
Or somebody has a wedding, or somebody passes.
Yes.
All awakenings. We shift. We'll never be the same because exactly. We had an experience that we didn't once have.
Yeah.
And they're all new. But these awakenings we can take as, I call them like little pieces of sacredness, you know. It's allowing us to grow into who we are. And if we take them for what they are, these little lessons, we can help those then that maybe haven't had that lesson and help them see it and be aware as well.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's true. Part of the reasons we have these awakenings, like a loved one passed, is to be able on the other side of that to help others, you know, with, to share what we have woken to share it with the world. That's kind of why 6 months after my son transitioned, I started this show. I can't believe it's been almost 4 years now. He's been in spirit for years, but I've been doing this show now almost 4 years. It just seems
see
like,
how beautiful that is and where it led you. And now that, you know, there's a blessing out of it. And now you're helping so many people and he's helping you with the show. And it's just, you would have never thought that. Now where you are today, it's beautiful.
Yes, it is.
Congratulations to you.
Well, thank you. And that to me too. It's literally, because we're spirit. What we are divine spirit beings of light. That's who we're not flesh and blood. This is like a vehicle. It's a car, you know. And one of these days, the car is going to conk out, and you know, the car is going to go back to the ground. But spirit is still going to be here. And when we understand that we came here for a purpose, and when we wake up, when we learn our purpose, or awaken, or remember. I like the word remember better than learn, because in spirit we know all. And, you know, our higher self knows all, knows why we came. But in our human consciousness, we chose to forget all the reason why we came and all that. We don't remember. So in remembering who we are and waking up to our purpose, that's what brings us joy in our daily one, you know, daily lives, day by day. And
that's true, because I said, like, it when I talk about that on 12, it hits me to the core, right? Because it awakened me, it went to within me, it hit my spirit, it hit my everything within me just was like,
wow.
It just enlightened me, it just tapped me into who I'm supposed to be. But it felt like an electrical surge, you know, like,
right.
You got this, right? You know what
right.
You're doing. Right?
Yes. Yes.
So
yes.
Forget this. And so there's times where it's like, okay, I cannot not do this, because if I choose not to do this, then I'm not serving my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I know it, right?
Now, I would say my big shift was not the day my son transitioned. It actually was 2.5 years before he transitioned. It was a day I brought him home from the hospital after doctors said he wasn't going to live. But all I wanted, it was December of 2011. So not, it was December 30th, 2011. So the day before New Year's Eve, just a few days, like 3 weeks before your big awakening. Yeah, it was just 3 weeks before. And so it was December 30th, 2011. I brought him home from the hospital after he had been in the hospital 5 weeks, and doctors did not think he was going to live. But I remember that December, I just wanted to bring my son home. And when in by now, he pulled himself off of life support, meaning he was semi-sedated. He pulled out the ventilator. He pulled out the feeding tube. And it was a true medical miracle. Doctors were like in shock. His vital signs were perfect. And I got to bring him home. And I made a promise to God when I brought him home that day. I said, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I will never, ever, ever stop thanking you for letting me bring my son home this December.
Oh,
it's really We got the ring in the new year. We rang in the new year together that
I
year.
I got the chills that went through my body just now.
So that was my true biggest.
Terrible.
Yes. And so when he did transition, he transitioned on July 1st, 2014, which was two and a half years later. When he did transition, I was actually at peace when he transitioned because of what happened that December.
Because you were given, he was given the gift of time.
Yes.
And so were you.
Yes.
And so you were awakened by the miracle that was presented in front of you.
Yes.
I mean, there's no question about that was a miracle.
Yes. Yes.
And that you got to bring him home. That's beautiful.
Yes. Yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and we all have, they're all different, but we all have those moments where we are presented with an awakening, and that's, you know, when we go within, it's a personal internal thing, and when we go within and we feel that awakening inside of us, once you're awakened to it, you can't really like you can't forget what happened to you on January 21st.
Oh, right.
There's no way, you know, and I can't forget that miracle on December 30th, 2011. Those things, they just stay with us for the rest of our life.
They're embedded.
Yeah, we build on that, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing because you'll never forget that date.
Yes.
Just because it's so within you, like I say, so strong.
Yeah.
And what's beautiful is you were aware and you were awakened, but you chose to trust it. You didn't just ignore it.
Exactly.
That's where people have a hard time. Like, I mean, you lost your son. Some people be like, you know what? I'm going to be angry for the rest of my life. How can that happen to me? Why did that happen to me? And so that's our purpose of trying to say, look at the joy from it. Look at what they, you know, what was their life about? Instead of being angry, what did they give? Honor them. Honor what they showed you, what they taught you, and who they are today.
Yes.
It's hard for some people. They just remain angry in it. If we could just, you know, tell them,
right.
Try and see even the littlest piece of joy.
Yes.
A little piece of blessing in it.
Yes.
That's like planting the seed, right? We just want to plant the seed in you.
Yes.
Us, but if you could just see just that little piece, it'll start. It's like the doors kind of crack. It'll start open. And when it does, you will then feel at peace.
Yes.
Like
yes.
You say, I'm at peace. I was at peace when he passed.
Yes, I was. Yeah.
And that's a gift. Yeah. And that's what I'm trying, I think we are trying to tell others that when they go through something like this, if you can just even see the smallest blessing out of it,
yes.
it will start the blessings that you'll start seeing over and over. Even the smallest one of not being able to get out of the house on time. You know, you might see, oh gosh, a mile down the road, there was a car accident. I would have been part of that.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Right. So it's just, they're presented in front of you. You have to be aware.
Yes.
You know? And so many of us are like blinders, you know, on our phones, we're not seeing anything.
Yes. The awareness, and the awareness happens in the now. Because a lot of times we're so busy, the Power of Now is one of my favorite books. And I really had to think about that. Most of the time, our mind is in the past or future. We rarely hear in the now. And that awareness that comes in that now moment. So one of the things I never do is rush. I definitely never rush when I'm driving. But I never rush. If I'm running late, I'm like, and I'll be considerate. If someone's waiting for me, I'll text them or call them. I'm running late. You know, I'm saying don't be considerate of other people's time, but don't rush because everything happens truly in perfect divine timing, and there's no need to rush.
I totally agree with that. And my family always teases me like, you drive so slow. I'm like, no, I don't drive slow. I just drive the speed limit. And they're like, but you just go so slow. And I'm like, you can go fast like everybody else. And I'm like, no, they're doing what's wrong.
So, I have to tell you a joke. I have to tell a joke that my son, a joke from my son. When I think this is the last time my son and I went to the movies together. And during the day, see, as I've gotten older, my night vision is not what it used to be.
Mine too. Okay. I actually got glasses. I don't know if you know this. You can get glasses for night driving.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh my gosh, you put them on and all of a sudden you can see everything. It's your daytime glasses won't work. They're nighttime glasses.
Okay, well, I have to definitely look into that. Well, here's the thing. During the day, because we went to the movies during the day. So it was and I normally do the speed limit maybe 5 miles above. You know, I stay, you know, so this is what, coming back, it was night. So this is exactly what Kyle said to me. He said, Mom, during the day, you kind of drive fast during the day. But at night, it's like watching paint dry. That is exactly right. And every time I'm driving at night now, and I'm driving really slow because I can't see at night, I think of what he said. At night, it's like watching paint dry. You drive so slow. But I'm going to look into those night.
You know, the glasses are so, like, I'll be like, forget to put them on. I'll be like, driving. I'm like, oh, you know, you do drive a little slower because you're paying more attention because you. What? It's clear. And I'll stop it and light, like, oh, my glasses. Put them on, I'm like, oh, night and day.
Everything
becomes clear, and the lights don't bother you as much.
Okay.
So I didn't even know that existed, but I happened to go and get my eyes checked, and they're like, do you have problems at night? I'm like, yeah. She goes, oh, well, it's a very small prescription, but we can give you night glasses. I'm like, yes, thank you. And
definitely.
Now, I've been driving with somebody else that they'll say, oh, I have problems at night. Like, try these. And they're like, whoa.
Wow. I will definitely get those. Because I remember as a small child hearing my father complain about driving at night. So I can't see but like a few feet in front of me at night. So when I'm driving. Okay, awesome. That's me, Kyle. I'm gonna be driving faster at night soon.
at least
I'll be able to see at night, yes.
Right, which is great.
Yes.
But yeah, we go back to, you know, finding that blessing within everything that we do, and that's during the Christmas season right now, and how things can be such a struggle to get everything done. And like you say, don't rush. Everything will get done. And just find the joy in everything that you do, if you can do that. It's not always easy because things get in our way that doesn't cause, you know, bring us joy. But if we then look at something else that can. Pick up a book and read it. That's going to bring you a peace. But my thing is, I always say, take the time, give yourself permission to take the time, whether it's 5 minutes, half hour, an hour, whatever you want, give yourself the time to sit and connect. Whether you're connecting to your guides, whether you're connecting to your God, whether you're just connecting to find peace, to breathe, like a meditate, yoga, you know, that's another way.
Yes.
But taking that time for you.
Yes.
And I think that helps raise our vibration because it calms the soul. It calms the body.
Yes.
And if we give ourselves permission to do that, especially like when we are having that terrible day, I mean, it's going to happen, right?
Yes.
That we go, you know what? I've had quite the morning. I'm just going to go take 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Whether you light a candle, whether you just want to find your favorite place to sit.
Right. Just
close your eyes and breathe.
This is so true.
And be in that now. It really, really will change everything that is transpiring. And even if you're having a good day.
Yes.
Feel good to do. I mean, give yourself permission to do it. And I tell the people that I work with that are healing, I said, you know, take that time because that's part of your healing.
Yes.
Healing is a process. You're feeding your soul. You're feeding your heart.
Yes.
By giving yourself love, to take the time to honor yourself with peace.
Yes. Right?
And just if people don't know what to do, basically they can just sit there and close their eyes and say, I surround myself with peace and love, and then breathe it in.
Exactly. Yes. Even though I just say, sometimes I just focus on my breath in and out. Just in and out. Just focus on your breath, you know.
Because then you're not thinking.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. Focus on that breath. To me, that quiets the mind. And then when you deep breathe, as soon as you start to deep breathe, it brings you into that present moment.
Right. You know? It relaxes you.
So, yes. And relaxes you.
You're connecting. You are connecting to your own self, your higher self. You're just mm-hmm. And that's, that will bring you peace.
Yes.
Do it if you have to pull over in the car before you go to work. You know, before I walk into the crazy office. Permission to do that.
Yes.
You're honoring yourself, and by honoring yourself, you will honor those that surround you that day.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yes, because when you, like, because again, it goes back to the fact that we're all connected. When you raise your vibration, each of us raising our vibration, the people we come around, their vibration is automatically lifted by our presence.
Right.
So, yes.
Right.
Yes.
And we talked about all being connected, right?
We talked
about energy and how it travels. And that's what I feel my healings are doing. It's an energy. That's why it can travel, you know, across the world in seconds. And I also believe in the power of intention, you know, when we all hold that same intention. So I just created a Facebook page for those that are in need of prayer, you know, so that anybody could go on. You just go on and you post a post that says, you know, I'm struggling. I'm having a hard day. Anybody that reads it, we're going to go, oh, I see her name. I pray for her. And even if you don't want to say prayer, I have good thoughts for her. However you want, but I felt like if we had a site where we could just put our feelings in, where it's positive and out of love, that I'm raising the vibration for whoever is in need without them having to really contact me and go through, like, how do I get a hold of her? You can just go on, and I sit with them, and whatever it is, I place that in my intention for that person. Please help them with their financial problems. Please help them with their pain. You know, let them see the light, whatever that is.
Yes.
So I feel that can help anyone in need.
That's great. Now, what is the name of that Facebook group?
So the Facebook for that one is just Deborah Martin's Prayer Page.
Okay. Deborah Martin's Prayer Page on Facebook. And also, Deborah, please share with them how they can find you and follow your work.
If anybody Google Deborah Martin, D-E-B-R-A, excuse me, Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N, it'll pop up. It's under goldenmiracles.com.
Okay.
And so everything's on there. They can watch videos. They can see how I do my healings. They're all remote. So if you're sick, you don't have to worry about travel, the expense of all the money. You get to stay in your own sacred space, feeling your peace while the session's being done.
Awesome. Awesome. Very, very good. And you say you have four books. Now, tell us the name of your book. So did you say three or four? I can't remember.
I have three books now. Fourth one's coming out in the new year. I'm so excited about that one because it's going to tell a little bit about me that I've never shared, going from when I was a child on, you know, people get to know me a little bit better, and in my complete journey. And my mediumship and my healing work is there. I worked with a lot of parents on writing their stories, because when you, they can't all be mine, right? Mm-hmm. They receive the healing. It's their story. And I let them write it so that others could feel it and see the truth behind it. So
I like for us to share, because we have a friend in common, Lynn.
Yes.
I just listened to her experience from the video on your website yesterday, and I want you to share that story of Lynn and Jeff and Devin.
So Lynn and Jeff's son, Devin, had gone missing in Germany. And I was doing a session, a small group session, probably a week before that he went missing. And her friend attended. And so when the son went missing, her friend reached out to me and said, could you help with this? I go, well, I've never really worked on a missing person case. Well, do you think you could call her? Well, okay, that's like putting myself out there. I don't usually do that, right? So I have Lynn's number, and I don't know, before I call, I'm like, okay, anyone on Lynn's side, you got to come through. Tell me, you know, who you are and what, so she knows that this is real. She might not even, you don't know what a medium is.
Right. Right?
Like, who is this crazy person calling me? So I called her, and we instantly had a connection. In fact, our connection became so strong that while she was in Germany, that she was able to speak to me things that she couldn't speak to her family, because right. She didn't know me, right? So we became, and I would feel for her. Like, I would lay in bed and just feel the pain, and that day she'd have the strength. So we ended up having this strong bond. But what came through to me was, the raven will tell you the answer. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, she's going to go tell her husband, I talked to this woman, and a bird is going to tell us the answer. Now, her husband, Jeff, thought that, okay, she has every right to feel what she wants to feel. This might be a little bit crazy, but with everything else that's going on, it is crazy, right?
Right.
So she would tell me, like, I was looking everywhere, are you my bird? Are you my bird? You know, what's happening? And they couldn't find him. It came to an end where they couldn't find them. And she had a premonition that she needed to go down to the river. And when she went down to the river, her husband followed, and he was across the river where she was standing. And this raven came down by her. And she immediately knew that this was the raven. And the raven looked at her, and she looked at the raven, and she looked at her husband. And the husband, she said, thank goodness somebody else was watching, because I thought, is this crazy, right? So she felt like she needed to go and touch the water. In order to do that, she had to walk down pretty far and then go down some steps. So she did that, and when she got to the steps, the raven came down and flew down and stood on the steps with her. And when she put her hand, I'm like, I couldn't cry, when she put her hand in the water, the raven put his beak in the water, okay? And so she felt her son was in that water. So as she was leaving, she met with her husband, and they were walking up this hill, and their daughter was on the hill as well. So the three of them were walking, and now they were no longer a family of four. They were a family of three. There were hundreds of ravens that came.
Wow.
Flew over them. She said it was like a movie. Like, you couldn't make this happen. I mean, she didn't see that many ravens there, and now you have hundreds of them right there. They all flew down to the river.
Wow.
And when they flew back to the States, they got a call that his body had been found in that very same river.
Wow.
And it just shows that Devin was trying to give them peace in knowing that he was okay. Mm-hmm. And if I give you a piece of information that's so out there, you can't deny what just took place.
Yes.
And it was their beginning of their awakening. And Devin came through a lot afterwards where, you know, Jeff was still on the fence. The daughter's still on the fence. It's kind of like me with my first. My first accident, it's just like, what just happened, right? And they're grieving. But he came through to me one day. I was at home, and he's like, call my house right now and tell my mom to tell my sister that I am the one that's making her computer only type in capital letters, and she can't figure out what the heck's going on.
Wow.
So I did.
Mm-hmm.
Her daughter's like, oh my God, it is happening. It is Devin. And so that was like, okay, he had to present himself in their home,
right,
their way that only they would have known to let them believe that it all happened.
But right.
It's we have a bond and a love and a connection with Devin still, but with them, it'll be something that I will always cherish and always love. And it's a sacredness. You can feel like you can share anything with someone that you've had an experience like that with.
Yes.
It's a trust, you know, that love that you have. And so I am blessed that they are in my life.
Yes, and I am too. I met Jeff and Lynn at the Helping Parents Heal convention in April. And they're just dear to me. Very dear.
They're just like full of light, full of yeah. light and love.
And yeah.
They're just beautiful, beautiful people. So anybody else that gets the chance to meet them, because they'll be at other Helping Parents Heal, like they'll be blessed as well.
Yes. Yes, yes. Anybody that's listening to this show right now who's not familiar with Helping Parents Heal, please just Google Helping Parents Heal. It's a wonderful organization. If you have a child that's in spirit and you need that support, loving support, surrounded by loving people that understand exactly what you're going through, and we'll be right there with you every step of the way. It's an amazing organization. And we're in the co-founder, Elizabeth, is in Phoenix, and so is Lynn, and you're also in Phoenix.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So you had asked me about my books. And so
yeah.
My first book was Believe Beyond Seeing, and that's just how I opened my door to mediumship. And with Dr. Gary Schwartz and that whole journey. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote a children's book for children to know that they're never alone. You know, mm-hmm. angels are always around them, always protecting them, their loved ones, whether they're sick, whether they're scared, whether they're being bullied, whether, you know, that mom, dad can't be with them, that there's always someone with them, and mm-hmm. how to be grateful for each day. And then I co-authored a book with Sherry Getton called Direct Connect to God, because I did healings with her, and then we separated, and we do our healings separately now. And so then now my next book,
yes.
I'm not going to announce the title yet because I'm holding it, but I'm so excited for it. So I'll be presenting it on my website. I'd be honored for anybody to read it, because I feel there will be teachings in this book. But also that when you read someone else's story, maybe your story relates to it, and you will have your aha moment of going, okay, I'm not crazy either. This has happened to me, something similar. You know, the synchronicities, how they all line up. You pick up the book and it has something to give you. And so that's my hope, is to just touch others and to bring the awareness that miracles do still happen. Our loved ones are still with us.
Mm-hmm.
That we need to live a happy, prosperity. Prosperity comes in, you know, it's not about money prosperity. I learned that. It's about how we feel the love that's around us. And that gives us the greatest prosperity in life.
Yes.
And so if we're just teachers, and that's
yes.
what I'm excited about, this new book to teach and have it available for
others. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your books and you sharing yourself with the world. And actually, my definition for me for success is living your purpose. And that's what you're doing. And that's why I encourage everyone to just live their purpose. That's why we're here.
Embrace
and
it.
Share their light with the world.
Exactly. Because yeah. we all are light.
Yes.
And once again, see the blessing in what you've been gifted.
Yes.
So these are gifts.
Yes.
We may not think of it, but they are.
It's true.
As you're in the Christmas season, right? These are our little gifts.
Yes. 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 So true. Well, thank you so much for being my guest. And yes, please have a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful holiday down where it's warm. It's cold up here.
Oh, yeah, stay warm. But no, I want to thank you so much. This has been so much fun. And it's like I have embraced a new friend.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to meet you in person and give you a hug now, spirit to spirit. But when I can really
in person, yes. And I know I will be in the Phoenix area again. I was twice this year. Again, I'll be there sometime in the upcoming year. And I will definitely let you know when I'm coming.
Oh, please do. We'll make it happen.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
We can get together. Me, you, and Lynn. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.